Blog Talk Radio. Good morning, and welcome to Joy and Peace, where your host is none other than Overseer Sadie Elegant. So glad you have stopped by the show today. If anyone would like to give the number out to someone, this is the phone number they can call in. We have an exciting guest on today with a good topic, and our guest call-in number is area code 646-716-4389. That number again is 646-716-4389. Gracious Father, we thank you for this broadcast today. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for the people that will hear the broadcast and maybe listen to it in the archive. We give you the praise today. We give you the glory today because it's all about you. It's not about us. And we want to say thank you today, dear Heavenly Father, as we come up to the week, dear Heavenly Father, of Easter, dear Heavenly Father. Let everyone, dear Heavenly Father, do what the Word of God says do, dear Heavenly Father, and do the things that you have through the blood of Jesus, dear Heavenly Father. We give you the praise and we give you the honor and the glory today. In the blessed name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and thank God. Well, our topic today is the blood of Jesus is indeed sacred and precious. Our subtopic will be the blood still works today. You know, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciple, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful for them to put them into the treasure, because it is a price of blood. And they took counsel and brought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Therefore, that field was called the field of blood unto this day. So our topic today is the blood still works. We have a guest that have come on that would like to bring this topic today on the blood still works. And she's on already, and I'm going to click and bring her in for my switchboard. Caller, you on now on the air of Joy and Peace. Good morning.
Well, thank you. Good morning. Thank you, Sister Sadie. It's a pleasure to be back here with everyone again today. And my heart's desire is that the words that the Holy Spirit has given me, that it will bless somebody's heart, that it will shed some light on them and give them more knowledge about the Word of God and about the blood, the importance of the blood that Jesus shed. I was up late last night. I have just been very, very tired this week because I'm putting my house on the market. Yay! Hallelujah! I have my neighbor here from across the street, Carol. She's listening in, and I'm so glad she wants to go to church now. Thank you, Jesus. So we're going to go to church Sunday and worship God. My desire for her and her family is that they all would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. She said she used to go to church, but she just kind of, you know how sometimes we go to church and then just from the pressures and the strains of life, we tend to let those issues take the place of church. And I've been there, so I know how it is. But I want to speak from this topic. The blood still speaks, or it still works. And when you say still, that is an adverb that helps lift up the word speaks or works. And still is a function word to indicate the continuance of an action or condition up to and including the present time. So just like the blood worked back then, it still works today. And, you know, a lot of people don't even talk about the blood anymore. They don't even use the blood of Jesus. But every time I pray for somebody, I pray that the blood will cleanse and will make whole from the top of their heads to the soles of their feet, because I know the importance of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, there's this story that Paul Harvey, way back in the day, I don't even know if any of you all remember Paul Harvey, but I used to listen to him all the time, and he would always say, and now the rest of the story. But I don't, Sister Sadie, are you ready for that? I want you to listen to this.
I went on and listened to it. You can go, if it'll play, go ahead. I don't know if it'll come through, but try.
Oh, okay. All right. This story is a story of what Jesus did on the cross. But, okay, here we go. I want you to listen to this, and I'll be back as soon as it finishes.
Well, Harvey's Easter sermon is never the best that you hear on Easter. It's always the shortest. And it starts with a story about a Boston preacher named S.D. Gordon. Dr. Gordon placed a beat-up, bent, rusted old birdcage beside his pulpit and told the story about that birdcage. He said an unkempt, unwashed little lad about age 10 was coming up the alley swinging this old caved-in birdcage with several tiny birds shivering on the floor of it. The compassionate Dr. Gordon asked, where did the boy get the birds? The lad said he had trapped them. What was he going to do with them? The preacher asked. The boy said, I'm going to play with them, have fun with them. The preacher said, sooner or later, lad, you're going to get tired of that. And then what are you going to do with them? And the lad said, well, I have some cats at home. They like birds. I'll feed them to my cats. Dr. Gordon said, son, how much do you want for the birds? The boy, surprised, hesitated. And then he said, mister, you don't want to buy these birds. They're just plain old field birds. They can't even sing, and they're ugly. Just tell me, you said. The gentleman thought on it and shut one eye and calculated and hesitated. $2? To his surprise, Dr. Gordon reached into his pocket and handed the lad $2 bills. And the preacher took the cage, and the boy in a wink had disappeared down the alley. In a sheltered crevice between buildings, Dr. Gordon opened the door of the cage, and tapping on the rusty exterior, he encouraged the little birds one at a time to find their way out through the narrow door and fly away. Thus, having accounted for the empty cage beside his pulpit, the preacher went on to tell what seemed at first like a separate story about how once upon a time Jesus and the devil had engaged in a negotiation. Satan had boasted how he had baited a trap in Eden's garden. He had baited a trap, and he'd caught himself a world full of people. What are you going to do with all those people in your cage? Jesus wanted to know. The devil said, I'm going to play with them, tease them. Make them marry and divorce and fight and kill one another. I'm going to teach them to throw bombs at each other. I'm going to have fun with them. And Jesus had said, you can't have fun with them forever. When you get tired of playing, then what are you going to do with them? And Satan had said, damn them. They're no good anyway. Damn them. Kill them. And Jesus said, how much do you want for them? Satan said, you can't be serious. If I sell them to you, they'll just spit on you. They'll hate you. They'll hit you and hammer nails into you. They're no good. Jesus said, how much? Satan said, all of your tears and all of your blood, that is the price. And Jesus took the cage and paid the price. And open the door. Now, our purpose of Easter in a dozen words. Jesus lived a good life in a wicked world to show us that it could be done. He died and he rose again to show us that we could do that too. Paul Harvey. Could they?
That story, even now, I used to listen to that story a lot back in the day. And it still means the same thing to me. It's still an important part of my salvation. Where would we be without the blood of Jesus Christ? This is a perfect example of how the blood sets free, how the blood delivers. It breaks bondages and yokes and the curse of sin, and it allows us to live a life for Christ. And it allows us to pick up our cross daily. Every day we got to pick up our cross and follow Jesus. So the blood is still speaking. It is still working. When we look in Matthew 26, we see how the pressures of life, the mental state of mind, also the Bible says, out of the heart flows the issues of life. And as Jesus, this is like before he went to the cross to be crucified, he was there at Gethsemane with his disciples. And he said, stay here while I go yonder and pray. And he took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee. And here is where the stress and the pressures of life begin to hit Jesus. And it says, he began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. So it says he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thy will. How many times have we fought within ourselves? The Bible says the flesh wars against the spirit daily, and the spirit against the flesh daily. But you know what? When you allow the flesh to win, you lose. But when you allow the spirit to win, you win. So Jesus said, nevertheless, as I will, but as thou wilt. His spirit right there was beginning to accept the fact that he had to suffer and he had to go to the cross for us. And it says, and he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and said unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So Jesus went away for the second time, and he prayed. And he said, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. Here he's accepting it more and more. A lot of times we have to come to grips with the truth. And the truth sometimes is very hard for us, especially when it comes to our children. I mean, I'm praying. I'm at that point. I was very, very stressed out with my son. But the minute I let go of it and I said, Lord, you bless me with this seed, and he is the blessed seed of Jesus, the blessed seed of Abraham, I know that he'll do better with you than with me. So I turn him over to the Lord, and I quit worrying and stressing about him. But it got to the point where I couldn't eat, couldn't sleep. It was always on my mind. And it said, and he came and found them asleep, and their eyes was very heavy. And then he left them and went away again and prayed the third time. And he said the same words, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, if you want me to drink this cup, then your will be done. It's not what I want. It's what you want. And he came to the disciples and he told them, once he accepted the fact that he had to go through this punishment, that he had to die for our sins, I began to wonder, how in the world now, Jesus has been there with God for, he was in eternity. He was there with the Lord all the time. And then to be separated from him. And you know, I was praying when I worked in New York, and as I was praying for people, there was this young lady with a cross, and it had Jesus on the cross. And the Holy Spirit had me to look at it, and he said, is Jesus still on the cross? Because when he was on the cross, he had sin on him because he bore the sins of the world. So if you have a cross and you still have Jesus on that cross, if I was you, I'd get rid of it because it's not the right thing. It is not the right message. We serve a God that died, buried, was buried, and resurrected again. So he is not on that cross. And you know, they was talking about you can be under such stress. I looked at TBN, and there were some scientists on that, and they said that Jesus was under such stress that even his pores seeped blood. I'm going, oh, my God. Now, I've been under a lot of stress, and I know a lot of you have been under stress where, you know, it messes with your stomach. You may not be able to sleep. You may have headaches and all kinds of things that go wrong with your body. But the stress that Jesus went through was like beyond limit. And he, blood was seeping through his pores and on his body. So Jesus, the blood that was shed then was for the pressures and the issues of life. Yeah, come here, stress. Come here, issues of life. Stand before the blood, because the blood has knocked you out of the box. You no longer have power over us. And if you go down to the 67th verse, now that was the first time blood was shed. I'm going to show you seven times, and seven is the number of completion. And it says in verse 67, then did they spit in his face, buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands. And I think it was in Psalms, I can't remember where, but it talks about how they pulled his beard out. And then they said, prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee? Oh, they trying to be smart, but they just don't know. Jesus died for them too. And it said, he suffered a bloody face. And who's coming before the blood now? Our emotions and our corrupt speech. The things that we speak, we have to be slow to anger. And the Bible says that he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit better than he that taketh a city. And it says, walk in the spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So blood was shed for our emotions and for our corrupt speech. And we know sometimes we can get so emotional that when we speak, we'll say stuff that we really didn't mean, or sometimes we'll mean it, but it'll come out the wrong way. The fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. We know all that. But it says, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. So the blood was shed for our emotional state of mind or state of being. That was the second time. We have to kill the flesh. You say, those that have crucified the flesh, I got so many stories. When I was in Gorsley's Wells at the teen challenge there, I brought all my bags in, and I picked the bedroom that I wanted to be in, because that's what they told me, pick your bedroom. I picked the bedroom, and I set my bags down, and one of the ladies that was in Teen Challenge came over to me and said, no, you don't want that bed. Now, on my way over to Wales, the Lord spoke to me about crucifying the flesh. So I thought, oh, that's going to be something I got to speak on once I get there, or whenever I get up to talk, I'm going to talk about crucifying the flesh. Well, the young lady gave me a room, and guess where my room was? Right in front of a cemetery. So every time I look out the window, I'm looking at all these graves in the cemeteries, and I'm thinking, wow, what a confirmation. That's just like the confirmation you gave me, Sister Sadie, about the song you heard yesterday. The same thing as my title. So I'm looking out the window, and I'm saying, boy, well, this is great. I'm thinking this is a confirmation for what the Holy Spirit gave me, and it was. I thought it was for them, but oh no, it was for me. Every time I went to that window and I looked out at those graves and I saw that church that was there, and I remember just looking at it and I'm going, Lord, how can I crucify my flesh? How can I get rid of me? This is me. And I'm trying to figure out, what is he trying to tell me? To get rid of this flesh. And I heard a message. I was laying on my bed, and I was just weeping and crying because I had to do away with Beverly, the fleshly Beverly, in order to gain the spiritual Beverly. So I'm laying there on my bed. I'm looking up at the ceiling, from the ceiling over to the window where the graves were, and I'm just a boy to cry. And I was listening to Times Square Church Pastor Wilkinson, and he said, if you have to crucify your flesh, stop crying and just do it. It was like, that's me. So I started praying, Lord, help me to crucify my flesh. I don't want to walk in the flesh. And that's what it says. We have to crucify the flesh with the affections and the lust. Now, the third time the blood was shed, I have to keep, I can talk now. I got to keep ever before me. How much time do I have, Sister Sadie?
I've given you 45 minutes today.
Oh, wow, thank you. I appreciate Sister Sadie because, you know, she just doesn't have to give me time on her show. And the Lord spoke to me last year when she was really trying to get me to come on, but I was too busy with trying to breathe and to move than to do the show. But after I got here in Pennsylvania, I realized I got to do this show. So I called, well, I talk to her all the time, but I asked her if I could go on. But I really do appreciate her because I know she's a woman of God and she is obeying the voice of God. A lot of people would not give their time up to somebody else. But Sister Sadie, I just want you to know, I always tell you, I appreciate you. I thank you for the person that you are. You're such a helper. But blood was shed, well, it said in the 27th chapter, verse 26, it says, then release he Barabbas unto them, and when it scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Now, when they scourged Jesus, they beat his back so bad that it was flayed open. You could see the bones. And they say he took 39 stripes. And that was for sickness and disease. It's for our... That is what's standing before the blood, even today, sickness and disease. So we know that Jesus is a healer. The blood came to heal and to set free. So a lot of times, you know, when you're in ministry and people know that you pray and God hears, they feel like, I'd much rather go to Sister Beverly to have her pray for me. And I tell them, look, I'm not going to be around here all the time. You need to learn to lay hands on yourself and pray for yourself because you got the same Jesus that I have in you. And if you want the Lord to heal you, you got to love yourself enough to know that, okay, I'm going to pray for myself. I know that Jesus can heal me. I'm believing in the blood of Jesus. And plead the blood over your life. It says that to another, in 1 Corinthians 12, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. So you may not have the gift of healing, but you can pray healing over your body. Who his own self bear our sins is 1 Peter 2:24, in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness. By these stripes, by whose stripes ye were healed. And he was wounded, Isaiah 53:5. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. So know that whatever you may be going through, sickness and whatever is going on with your body, you can pray for yourself, and the Lord will heal you. Now, I have this asthma. Trust me, it is nothing. I wouldn't wish this on. I wouldn't want anybody to have to go through this. But I was like 55 when I got asthma, and it didn't come on like most people may have it, like when they were babies. But I was 55 years old, and I got asthma, and my goodness. But I still would go and do the work of the Lord. I was still going into the prisons. I was still preaching bad, you know, breath, as far as breathing, bad breathing problems. But I kept laying hands on myself, and I kept telling the Lord, even though I said, is this my thorn? Is this a thorn in my side? Lord, you've got to deliver me from this. And I one time told him, if you want me to go on, and trust me, I'd be breathing real hard. And sometimes couldn't catch my breath. But when I got up to speak, that all disappeared. So the Lord knows when you got a work to do, he will equip you. Then the next time blood was shed was in 27 and the 29th verse. And when they had platted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. They spat upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. So we want, what's coming to stand before the blood now is the mind. Let me tell you, you could go through. I remember after I shot my husband, I had such a terrible go of it with the mind. I couldn't remember where I worked or where I lived. I would drive up and down the freeway until finally it would come to me where I worked, and I would pull off to go to my job. And when I went home, I would drive up and down the freeway. Even thinking about it now, I want to cry because I know that the Lord had his hand around my mind to keep my mind together. Otherwise, I would have lost it. But we know that the blood was shed for our mind. And scripture that says, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. And it talks about the Lord will keep us in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. That's Isaiah 26:3. Mark 5:15 says, and they came to Jesus and saw him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. I remember this one guy, I was fasting, and I used to go to church every night. I was gung-ho. I still am, but I'm not like I was as gung-ho like I was back then. But he had a spirit that he would be drunk all the time. And so he came up to me and said, Beverly, I want you to pray for me. And so I was so tired because we were on a 21-day fast, I didn't want to get out of the car. The flesh is weak, spirit willing. I didn't want to get out of the car. So I told him, I said, okay. I reached with my hands out the car window. He says, who ever heard of anybody praying for somebody sitting down in the car? So I got out of the car, and it was about 2:30 in the morning. So I started praying for him, and the Holy Spirit told me to go around him. So I went around him And I started pleading the blood of Jesus. And let me tell you, that voice that came up out of that man, I got scared instantly. I got scared. My heart started pounding because it was a devil. But my heart started pounding, and that when I went around him in a circle, I imprisoned him. And he said, "Let me out of here." I can't sound the way he sounded, but that's what he said. "Let me out of here." But he couldn't get out until the Lord delivered him. And I mean, that man was howling out there, but I was pleading the blood because I told him, you don't have no right to be telling me what to do. I said, I'm covered by the blood, and Jesus covers you by his blood. He used to be saved. And that man hollered and screamed out there in that parking lot at that apartment complex. Nobody, no lights came on. Nobody came outside. And the guy got delivered, and he was delivered sober. Went from stone deep drunk to sober. I said, boy, the Lord is awesome. That's the first time that ever happened to me. But you know, you live and you learn, and you trust the Lord. And I'm tired. But it's the blood was shed again when they, it says, and they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots. So when they crucified him, that means they drove a nail through his wrist. And that was for our work habits. And the Bible says in Colossians 3, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. I know a lot of Christians that don't work as unto the Lord, but they work as unto men. And some people are very slowful about, you know, their job. I always get to my job early. And that way, you know, nobody would have anything bad to say. I have excellent work habits because my grandfather, I worked with him in the natural on a farm. So I have excellent work habits. I'm glad I do, because the things that I do it as unto the Lord now, not unto men. So there's a standard that we have to be upheld. So Jesus shed his blood. Let's see what time we have here. Shed his blood for our work habits. That's number five. Number six, it says, they crucified him, that they nailed his feet to the cross. And that for our work, our walk. So some people are, you know, they be swift to do mischief. And the Bible tells us not to be that way. And we know sometimes people lay up on their beds. That's what this guy told me once, that he, if anybody doing anything to him that he does not like, he'll lay up on his bed and devise evil things to do to them the next day. I'm going, why would you do something like, I really started ministering to him because I felt like he told me that so that I could minister and witness to him. But it says, Psalms 56:13, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Will not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? Psalms 58:10, the righteous shall rejoice when he seeth the vengeance. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked. And, you know, a lot of times we're living in a day where Satan is on his job. He is so far ahead of the church. And we can tell by the signs and the wonders. Now, we know that Jesus is through the door. Jesus is coming soon. So what do we? We're going to have to do our best to live a life for Christ. And that was the sixth time the blood was shed. So Jesus shed his blood for our walk. Thy word is a lamp, a light unto my path, and a lamp unto my feet. And he says, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. I almost slipped. I almost fell. How many times as we, as saints, our feet will almost slip. We'll almost fall down. But the Lord keeps us. And then the seventh time the blood was shed was when the soldiers pierced him in his side, and blood and water came out. So, you know, I thought, blood and water. I always think about the water of the word, the spirit, and the blood of Christ. Both of them together, I said, coming from his side, I would think that would be the church. So the church is covered by the blood of Jesus. The church, well, the church that we know today, we have come so far from the way church used to be back in the day. I remember going to church. We had to go. But I remember this one time, and I used to think, oh, they practice all that. They ain't speaking in no tongues, and they don't learn that one from the other. But the pastor of the church said, bring Brother Tony to church tonight. The Lord gonna heal him. Now, when he was born, his hands was like, and his legs was up in his chest, and his hands was up by his face. He was like in a ball, but he was crunched up. And so the pastor said, bring him tonight. The Lord is gonna heal him. So I went to church that night like I always do. And so they put that chair in the middle of the church, and Elder McGowan started praying for Brother Tony. And they said he was going to die. He was going to die as a baby. And Elder McGowan started praying for Brother Tony. And I'm telling you, I saw with my two eyes, but as he was praying, his arms said, boop, they popped out. And his legs went out. And I'm going, oh, they practiced that. Because I couldn't believe that the Lord could do anything like that. I thought it was like practice, even though I saw him every Sunday like this. She would bring him as a kid, a baby, all crunched up. But God healed him that night. Now, that should have been enough for me to turn my life over to Christ. But I reasoned it away. But Jesus died even for our unbelief. That's what, Lord, help me with my unbelief, even right today. And we talk about, where was that I was reading? It says, he that believeth on me, as the scripture had said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. And then Jesus said, except the man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So we know that we are living in a time now where the church really, really needs to be on its job and cause other people to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We know that Jesus, his dying was not in vain. He died for you and me. And if we don't acknowledge the power that's in the cross, Jesus is no longer dead. He's sitting at the right hand of our Father. So we have to do the best that we know. When we've gone as far as we can go, the Bible says we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Now, a lot of times people don't say this last part, and we love not our lives, even unto death. We are living in a time now when our lives may require us to die for the word, for the blood of Jesus. Do you accept Jesus Christ into your heart? And you know, at the very end, Jesus said, it is finished. It's done. He went through all of that just for us. That when he died on the cross, He had us on his mind. And I said, Lord, as much as I love my children, I would not die for them. Jesus already died for us. So if you are out there and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you can accept him right today. If there is anybody, before I do this last prayer, if or altar call, yeah, you can do an altar call. You don't have to be in a church to do an altar call, because there's somebody out there that needs the Lord. There's somebody out there with children that's out in the street, and your heart is very heavy. You don't know which way to go. Turn to Jesus. Pray. You got to pray for your kids. Pray for your children. But is there anyone out there that would like to say anything about the message? The blood still works. It works today. It'll work tomorrow. It'll work until Jesus comes.
Amen. Amen. You know, as I was listening to you, Pastor Beverly, I was reminded in the Word of God from 1 John, it was saying, but if we, as his people, walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another.
Right.
And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanse us from all sin.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think about that, you know, he died, like you said, on the cross for each one of us, for our sins. And the testimony that you give, how he changed that man, how he healed the little boy in front of you, where you didn't have to just go by with something you heard from somebody else. You saw that for yourself. So God is still in the miracle-working business. God still,
amen,
through the blood of Jesus. The blood still works.
Mm. Amen.
Well, we thank
there's
you
power.
Today. Mm. Go ahead.
There's power in the blood. It's still the same. So if there's someone out there that wants to know Christ, that needs the Lord in their lives, you can easily accept him. You just have to acknowledge that you're a sinner and ask the Lord to come into your heart. If you would repeat this prayer after me, say, Lord Jesus, I come to you a sinner, but I want to know your saving grace. I want to be saved. I no longer want to serve sin. I want you in my life. I'm acknowledging my sin. I'm putting it down today for you, Lord. So help me, Jesus, in my walk with you. Help me, Lord, to live a life and to take up my cross and follow you. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and heal me and love me and show me how to love other people and how to love you back. I'm yours, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that I'm saved, that you are in my life. I no longer serve the devil. Devil, I serve notice on you right now. You have no power, no authority over my life. I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, if you just happen to sin and do something that's not right, don't stress. Go on your knees, ask the Lord to forgive you. Just repent. Get up from where you were and start over again. It's that simple. The Lord will forgive you 70 times 7. That's how many times we're supposed to forgive one another. So he'll forgive you, and don't even think about it. So you ask God to help you. And I want you all to pray for me, because I am very, very tired this week. I'm so tired that my thinking has been affected. But I know that all I got to do is rest this body. And I thank Carol for being here, for her listening. She's such a lovely person. And we're going to church Sunday in Jesus' name. That's it.
Well, praise God. We give God the praise and we give him the glory for this broadcast today. We went to 50 minutes today. So we give God the praise today. And we hope any listeners that come on will take heed on the prayer that you prayed for them, for salvation, to forgiven of their sin, and let them realize and know that the blood still works, no matter who they are, where they are, that God is sitting right there in front of them with open arms. Amen. And they can go to God at any time, any moment. He don't have no specific time, date. Like you said, you don't have to be in the building. You could be in your home,
right,
in your bathroom, sitting at your dining room table, and know that you need Jesus. And you
Amen.
Can receive Jesus sitting right where you are, or standing where you are. You just have
That's
to
right.
turn your life over to Jesus. Well, we
Amen.
Give God the praise again today. We thank our caller, Pastor Beverly Barnes, for coming on today, and all the callers that's listening on the switchboard by telephone or by their computer. We ask you to please stop by in next week. We'll have another exciting topic. Don't know what it is yet. God will drop it in my spirit. So we
yes.
want you all to be blessed this week. And this Sunday coming is Resurrection Sunday. We know God has already risen. So don't nobody go back and put him on the cross. He's no longer on the cross. He's off
right.
of that cross. So don't get up every Sunday, this Sunday, and putting him back on the cross. He's sitting right there with you wherever you are, in the midst of you. He's not on that cross no more. He died over 2,000 years ago and rose again. So he's right here with us. So I want to thank
Amen.
All the callers, all the listeners that came in today to be partaker of this show. But without you all, Joy and Peace would not have made it 13 years. So we give God
Hallelujah.
The praise and the glory. And until next Wednesday, I want every one of y'all to be blessed. You know my little cliche, it's not Bible, it's not scripture, it's just a cliche that I had. If I had the tentacles of an octopus, I would hug each one of you all and tell you just how much I love you. And until next Wednesday at 10 o'clock, you all be blessed and have a wonderful holiday. Bye-bye.
Amen. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.